You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any announcements? Now we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Leviticus today, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests. Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts of the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt offering, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we made it this time, and our truck got us here. It's a bit of a rattle trap, that truck. Makes all sorts of noises and sounds as we go over the bumps and stuff, and the suspension relative to the SUV is just about non-existent, you know, the thing bouncing all over the place. But we thank God that we do have another vehicle, and I remember when we first got to the United States, we only had one vehicle, and I was the driver, and so I was the taxi man taking Reuben over here and Seppi over there and myself sometimes in other directions. And it's on. Pull this. Hello, testing. This is pretty close. It's on. I can see the green light. Green means go. Good? I can just talk louder. Okay. Usually I don't need any mic at all. In fact, when I lecture at university, it's all come now? Okay. Okay, so thank God we're here. So we're in part 7. This is basically the same lesson I was going to give last Sunday, but I've made some amendments to it, some changes. And I have to say, I've come across some really amazing stuff in the scriptures, some very amazing things. And I got an interesting email from a person in Australia asking me some questions, which there are some, I don't say a lot. We've got a number of people who are following us and asking good questions. They can only get good questions like that if they're really intent on what's going on and following things closely, which is good to see. Well, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for the scriptures and the fact that they have been preserved, Lord, not just inspired. That's a great thing, but they have been preserved, that we can read them with confidence and know thy word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So when you look at this whole topic of the body of Christ, there are massive connections in all sorts of ways to the sacrifices. For example, if we were just to have a quick review of some of the things we've seen before, just look at Romans chapter 7, and this is what it says. In verse 4, it says, Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, there's no doubt at all that Paul here is, when he's talking about the body of Christ here, he's talking about the body of the individual we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that singular has a, it's singular in terms of the body referenced. One body, that is Christ's body. And it's a reference to his sacrifice. And it's a tremendous thing. Of course, it has implications to a larger body. So really in this, you can see as you read through verse 4, wherefore my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. But wait a minute, who are these brethren? Well, you're going to learn a little bit later on, they are the body of Christ. So here you've got a group which is the body of Christ, but they are benefiting immensely through the work of Jesus Christ, his body, what he did in obedience to God through his body, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So in this amazing new marriage there is fruit, and related to Christ you find obedience and fruit from the obedience. When you think of Jesus Christ and his body, what did he do with his body? Because in a very special way, Jesus had a prepared body. It was prepared specially, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, was extant before the body. Before the body was prepared, the Word already was. And then the Word took on flesh and dwelt amongst us. This body was specially prepared. And it performed, he performed in this body a remarkable work, a perfect work. So as we go through, you start to see this coming forward in a very special way. Look at chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So here you've got the work of Jesus Christ in his body, performing this work, and then being raised from the dead because death could not hold him. There's no way that death could hold him. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. I love that word, quicken. To make alive. Well, you cut down to the quick. You cut down to the living. Ouch. In the front of this series of slides are these horses. Now, I have a fascination with all animals, but especially horses. And I was watching a series of YouTube movies on YouTube just recently, just having a break from what I was doing, and it was about farriers and how that they would work on horses' hooves. And one farrier made the comment, you realize that a horse has five hearts, one heart in its chest cavity and then one each on each of its hooves in a thing that's called the frog. And what happens is, as the horse runs and moves, it compresses the frog, which acts as like a pump and moves the blood through the legs more completely, right? And I thought to myself, isn't that an amazing thing? It shows him working on the hooves, and some of the hooves are terribly malformed because the owner maybe, in some cases, not always, but in some cases, simply did not look after the horse. A horse is something you have to look at. You can't just say, well, there's my horse out there in the field, and come back a year later and think everything's going to be okay. You've got to keep looking at these things and checking them out. They get ticks. They get all these things. But it's an amazing thing that in that case, there is a need to look at the body, especially inspected. And if you were to look at the special work of God in terms of preparing this body, a specially prepared body, you see perfection. And so what you can expect from the work of Christ is perfection. It's perfection in terms of his work. And then it says in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So this is going now to the individual body, your body, and how you work with that body. But it's in relationship to the body of Christ, the singular, and you as a part of the group, the body. Do you see bodies everywhere? Once I started to study, I began to see the plethora of usage of the word body, either stated or implied. It's there. Look at chapter 12, verse 5. Look at this. This is amazing, right? This is really amazing. 12:5. In verse 1, we'll read there a little bit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. And this is where Paul applies the word reason and expects you to use reason. One of the great things that I can see with the nature of our study and our belief in right division is that we apply reason, which is many times removed from studies. And I remember a discussion that was going forward about the Pentecostal church, and there was a statement saying, well, the Pentecostal church is the largest growing church on planet Earth as far as the Christian church is concerned. It's the largest one. And one of the problems that we see sometimes, though, with many of these so-called manifestations of Christianity in the world is that there's no reason in there. The reason has gone. And we can thank God that the primitive gospel is at least preached. People can get saved. We've got to be thankful with that. But surely we've got to ask the question, well, what then? And it says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That perfect will of God. And I know this is stated in the Acts period when Paul is reaching the nation of Israel. Understand the context of that. But surely it must be true that God has a perfect will for us too, right? In this age. And it says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Here comes the membership to this group, which will be the body of Christ. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Yeah, a proportion of faith they would have, and they should prophesy accordingly. And it says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Very practical instructions coming from this. But there's no doubt about the parts and how that they're members of each other and how they're working, that there was a supernatural context to this body. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And as you go through this, have a look across just another passage. This is 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Notice communion means fellowship. Fellowship has in it the idea of something common, koinonia, something common. They hold something in common. the cup, the bread, which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And it goes on and talks about Israel after the flesh, are not they which are of the eat of the which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? And it goes on, builds doctrine out of this. And there's no doubt here that you can see that strong association of the bread and the cup. There's this bifurcation between the body of Christ and then also the blood. The blood. And what we'll see is when we get back and check out the sacrifices, you'll see this. This bifurcation between the body and the blood. Now, just going on to just a couple more, and then we'll move on to some other verses which I want to comment on. Chapter 12 and verse 12, it says this: For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. So also is the anointed. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And how did that Spirit manifest itself? In all kinds of different ways, but including gifts of the Spirit. And you can read on down here all of these things. Tremendous picture of these things. Verse 27, Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, out of part. You see, that's the body is made out of parts. And you'll see the particular nature of the sacrifices. Jesus Christ had a prepared body. He did a very special sacrifice. And so you'll find that there are lots of sacrifices mentioned in the Bible. And all of them in some way will be fulfilled in the work of Christ. Lots more we can look at here. Now, if you look at the sacrifices, this comes directly out of my favorite Bible for commentary, which is the Companion Bible. It is remarkable. The appendices alone are remarkable. But if you look at the structure given here, the structure of the book as a whole, notice the A's, right? A, the offerings and their laws. A, two, the offerings and their requirements. And then down here, the offerers and their charges. Those A's are very interesting to read through. And here, if you look at chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 7, verse 38, here you see a more closer delineation of what's going on. Notice the burnt offerings come first here. Meal offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings. Notice the structure. Burnt, meal, sin offerings, peace offerings. And it would seem that these are the four heads of the sacrifices that we read. Let's go back there. I want to show you a few things about this. So let's go back to Leviticus. You just don't need the Old Testament. It should be ripped out of the Bible. We don't need the Old Testament. Now, we need the Old Testament. It is the Word of God, my friends. Just as much the Word of God as the New Testament, so-called. And let's go across to Leviticus chapter number 1. And look what it says in verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Man, the voice of God. You know, people say, oh, God told me this and God told me that. Not like this, friends. You know what I'm saying? Moses, he heard the voice of God. Now, to me, if I heard the voice of God speaking to me out in the same context, out of some structure, and the voice of God came to me, I'm a changed human being, man. Man, you better watch out, because I'm just going to be super dangerous. I'm just going to be totally a different person. The fact that God would speak to me like that. Man. Speak unto the children of Israel. Okay, here we have a representative. He gets the message of God directly. Directly to him. And then he's going to take it to the children of Israel. Say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male. Isn't it interesting? The first one, the first offering which is discussed in the book of Leviticus, when God speaks out of the tabernacle, his voice comes to Moses. He talks about the burnt sacrifice. Now the burnt sacrifice, the idea of the burnt sacrifice is the verb to ascend. To ascend. And when you think about something that burns, what happens? Well, you create smoke. You create odor. You create something that rises. Man, if you ever got a restaurant going, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get a strong blower over that grill and make sure you're blowing that stuff right out into the sidewalks. You know what I'm saying? And the thing that smells the best is also the stuff we try to avoid, which is fat. Right? Get that fat on the grill, boy, and it smells great. Now, that's going to happen here. What happens to the fat? Goes on here. It says this. Okay. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice, verse 3 of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Jesus, the male. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. There was a door. And if you came to that door, the first thing you'd see as you look through the door would be this great big altar. And beyond that, the laver. And after that, the tabernacle door proper. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. Wait a minute. And he, that's the person that brings it. No good trying to wash your hands of this one, my friends. It's right up personal, man. The bullock is going to look you in the eye, man. And you're going to look at it in the eye. And you're going to get that sharp knife, man, and you're going to do something pretty gruesome. Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar. Now notice the blood goes around about the altar. That is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering, verse 6, and cut it into pieces. Flay it. What does that mean? Skin it. Rip the skin off. And cut it into pieces. Wait a minute. Cut it into pieces. Now this is a proper butchery. It's not just cutting it, just hacking away. No, it's cut properly. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar. They shall do this. It's got to be specially prepared. And lay the wood in order upon the fire. You see, Christ, he died personally for your own sins. And your own sins meant that he had to die, not only for the sins of the world, but you are a part of the world. And he died for you personally. And lay the wood in order upon the fire. In order, in order. Oh, okay, so there is an order in this thing. And when you find notions of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in his body, and especially in relationship to that sacrifice that he committed, it in order. Absolute order. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. So you have this altar, and it's got a grate, and on this grate is wood that's placed there, and its fire is kindled. And then these things are put on there, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood. So these parts, the head and the fat, all there, burning. It takes a bit of fire, man, to burn up all of this. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by the fire of a, look at it, here comes that thing, sweet savor unto the Lord. That's the smell, that's the rising, the ascent, the going up. That's it. That's one of the main things about this burnt sacrifice, and the fact is that it's done in order, parts are cut and removed and put in order, and it's burnt. It's all burnt. Now when I say it's all burnt, remember the blood was sprinkled around the altar. There was still, you can see, a bifurcation between the body and the blood. Okay. You say, what are we going to learn from all this? My friends, there's so much to learn in here. Go across here to another one. I'm going to show you one more, which is, I think, very significant from our context. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. Again, up personal responsibility. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Oh, so this blood goes into the tabernacle proper. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now notice this. Pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar. And verse 8, and he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul upon the liver, and the kidneys, it shall he take away, as it was taken from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. Okay, these special parts now. Special parts of the body. Right? This notion that there are special parts of the body is coming up here. And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh with his head and with his legs and his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp. Well, wait a minute. My mind's doing tricks on me here. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read about here that these special parts, the kidneys and liver and these things, aren't they laid in order on the altar and the burnt and the blood around about? But now down here, just look at the language and believe. Believe. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp. But you see the question that comes to mind? It says the whole bullock. But the parts of the bullock have already been removed and stuck on the altar and burned. But here it says the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp. Now, the way you can argue this is say, well, that's, you know, the mass, the bulk of the animals going out. And so that's why it's called the whole. Maybe that's how you can justify that. But it uses the words, the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp. What is the camp? The camp would be that great encampment of the nation of Israel where you have the tabernacle in the middle. And then around the sides, north, south, west, and east, you'd have the three tribes encamped. And that is the camp. And this bullock would be removed outside of the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. Okay, that's kind of interesting, don't you think? That you have a part of the sacrificial system which is outside the camp. And it has to do with the sin offering, a very important one for our symbology, especially our personal symbology. Well, there's more. Numbers 19 talk about the business of the red heifer and that sacrifice. That's also outside the camp, where they'd make from the ashes water of purification so that they can carry out their work in the tabernacle. They needed all this. By the way, did you know that there were some red heifers that were taken from, I believe, Texas across to Israel not so long ago, where there's a group of people there who are trying to get the temple working again, wanted to have these ready to go so they could use these. Well, that's interesting, right? That's interesting. Now, if you look at the words body and prepared, you find them mentioned here, 4:12 and 10:5. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice, perfecting body of Christ. Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared. Where it says, but a body hast thou prepared me, that's where you get in Psalms the passage which gives you obedience. Let me just show you this here. Here it is here. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. That was replaced with, but a body hast thou prepared me. What do we have here? We have in the person of Jesus Christ, the body that was prepared, complete open ears to obedience. Absolute obedience. So that when Jesus Christ committed his sacrifice, it was in total obedience. His work in his body was in complete obedience. All of that. And so when we come to the body of Christ, as we are affected by it, let me just come back over. Sorry about this. Where it says here, for the perfecting of the saints, perfecting here is this verb katartizo, meaning that there was a problem in the past and now things have been adjusted and prepared so that an emendation has been made so that we could function properly. There was a problem, and now it's been overcome. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And with this comes a new revelation by Paul the prisoner. In Hebrews 10:5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared. Special body, prepared, meaning in the past there was a problem. but it has been fixed and overcome by this body which God had prepared for Jesus Christ. And from this we get all our tremendous blessings. Some blessings we will find specially ordained and put in place for the nation of Israel. But hold on. The truth is that there was a very special part of the sacrifice which was outside the camp. Outside the camp. And even the Hebrews had to realize that the truth and the perfection of their knowledge was to go outside the camp to Jesus. Outside the camp. And if you say, well, that's not all there, right? There was parts that are on the altar. No, it says the whole bullock was removed outside the camp. Well, there's more for me to say about this. But, you know, there's just too much in this book. Too much for a small town boy like me. It's just too much. And I'm finding some tremendous things that have to do with the particular knowledge and the sacrifices. And what I'd like to do is I need to spend time at some stage and put this together in a graphic. Now, I've been talking about this and I haven't done it. I know that. I'm not going to produce and give you something that's not complete enough. So I need to get something a little bit more complete, and then I want to give it to you. It's rock and roll, man. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've got together and all of these great truths that we can find in the Scriptures that speak about the sacrifice, the whole burnt offering, Lord, and all that it means. And we thank Thee, our Father, that we have a church that we can come to, a physical place that we've got, and we can record our messages, and that they can go out to the world where people can, through their own free voluntary will, come to the passages of Scripture and see in there new things that will call and bring light to their lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.